Welcome to What's Ailing the World. On this show, you will learn how to recognize the patterns used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world, who have created the living hell we find ourselves in here on planet Earth, where doctors create disease and destroy life and administer biological weapons, nicknamed vaccines, which are corrupting our very genetic structure, where police and the judicial system protect the criminals and persecute the innocent, where governments have become terrorists against the people they purport to serve and commit treason every day by allowing the destruction of our air, water, food, and planet, who suppress the natural solutions to all these problems which are already available, who are stealing and torturing our children under the guise of child protection. The ability to see the big picture is the critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to bring these predators down. The critical step for everyone with a conscience is to do your own research, as we have been lied to about everything. The study of language is very revealing. The word lie was put in the middle of the word belief, as when the psychopaths are able to lead the slave work units to believe a lie, it becomes their truth. I strongly recommend that you challenge all of your own beliefs until you know the truth. This is not easy, as I discovered when I had to face the fact that the medical profession I had so proudly joined was totally corrupted to do the opposite of the Hippocratic oath first taken to first do no harm. I suggest all of you go to my website, drcarly.com and reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com. Both of them have the diagrams that I developed in 1999. The first diagram is the big picture, and it explains the cause of all disease on one piece of paper. And then you can listen to the video of me explaining those diagrams at a conference that I went to in Chicago in 2008. The diagrams are based on pure common sense and have never been refuted, despite a $10,000 reward I posted on drcarly.com in 2006. For any white coat to refute any of my information on the air. To this day, I have received no takers to this challenge. Always remember that it's not just a matter of the truth setting you free. You have to act on the truth. And negotiation and compromise with evil is impossible. And it's getting very obvious that the psychopaths that control the world are destroying everything that matters and obviously have a depopulation agenda. So if you do nothing, silence is consent and you're actually aiding and abetting your own destruction. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support my work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. You can go to reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com, click on the services section, and learn how I do consults to teach you how to reverse your diseases with natural therapies. Of course, I do not practice nor give medical advice because the white coats medical mafia went after me and took away my medical license, claiming I have a delusion of conspiracy because I speak the truth. So I teach you what I would do if I was you instead. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com. or calling me at 828-294-062 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. I also have a toll-free number, 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. If you get a strange message that the number has been disconnected or whatever, have the operator dial it for you. My Skype username is drcarly1. But I use Skype primarily for my international clients and radio shows. I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you to reverse disease with natural therapies in people and in pets. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carl. Yes, please mute your mic because there's all kinds of interference coming in. Okay. As I was saying, archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at thelightofdayradioshow.com. click on Dr. Carly Archives. Note that the archives from this station, These Changing Times, are accessed by clicking links where it says 2012. You'll see it says archives for TCT, the Sunday show. So if you click on that link within the Dr. Carly Archives, that will bring you to the archives of my shows on These Changing Times. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 785-269-0590 or Skype the show, Eddie Walker. Very important, callers need to mute their phones while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever is speaking. And I ask you to please wait until the second hour to call in so I have an opportunity to introduce the topic of the week. You can also go to the chat room and type in questions, and the board op will let me know what questions or comments are coming in. One of the most important things is to protect yourself and your loved ones from the organisms being created by the mad scientists. At over 1,300 biowarfare labs in the U.S. alone, is purchased a silver lungs colloidal silver generator. Go to the link section of reversingvaccineinducediseases.com to learn how to obtain the silver generator I recommend and use personally for myself and all my pets. And as the biowarfare organisms are being unleashed on humanity in ever-increasing numbers, we're getting ready now for them to unleash the bird flu vaccine. They're already doing the H1N1 vaccine. And, of course, I've talked before on the show about the weaponized rabies that they have developed in order to actually spray it on us, where you can get rabies by inhalation and then become a cannibal. So I cannot stress strongly enough how important it is for all of you to protect yourself from these organisms that are coming from the chemtrails as well. And the best way that I know of to do so is by using colloidal silver. I would like to send out my condolences to one of our board ops, Cat Wolf, who lost her husband this week. I'm so sorry that he had to go through what he went through. But, of course, I know what the white coats do, and all I can say is at least his suffering is over. Let me also say that the views expressed on this program are not the views or opinions of the network, but rather the opinions of the host, guests, and callers. So just realize that, you know, these are my opinions and the opinions of my guests. Okay, on today's show, the answer to what's ailing the world is aspartame and consequences for speaking the truth. My special guest is Corinne Bouget. She's coming to us from France. Her website, which is in French about aspartame, is Santene, S-A-N-T-E-N, danger.net, SantineDanger.net. Welcome to the show, Corinne, and please start off wherever you'd like. How did you become interested in aspartame? Let's start there.
I became interested into E-numbers, as we call it in Europe. E is for Europe, and E-numbers is meant to for food additives. So it was quite a long time ago. It was 18 years ago. So I was pregnant with my first daughter, and I found out about E-numbers in a press article. So I got a booklet called Find Out in England, and I started to do my shopping with it, and quickly I realized that E-numbers as food additives were not always safe, even if they were allowed into the food. But what was a bit surprising was in this booklet I was using, there was nothing, absolutely nothing about aspartame. So I avoided it. I just didn't cook with it. I didn't use it. I didn't know anything about it, so I just avoided it. And because I started to read all the labels, my ex-husband started to use a lot of Diet Coke and sugar-free gums, and just because to take the mickey off me, and life became hell. So in 2001, I asked for divorce, because my ex-husband was really misbehaving, and mentally and his physical health was poor and poor. So after, just before the divorce, I suddenly discovered the truth, the beginning of the truth about aspartame, and then we were in 2003. So I decided to divorce anyway and to come back to France and to write a book in French about e-numbers to help people for all ages, even children, to be able to read those labels, because the list of ingredients on a package is always confusing. It's either a code or either a name, and it's very it's printing in very small characters, so you can't read it. And what people must know is that there is mainly two food additives that can destroy your eyes, and then you can't read anymore. You can become blind little by little. It's aspartame and MSG, and it's been proven for years and years on. So when you can't read anymore and you are in a rush, you want to go home, watch TV, you just buy your food and you trust the brand, and then you swallow your food and you don't even think about it. And I wrote a book about e-numbers in French, and it came onto the market in 2006. And very quickly, within 2 months, my editor sold 11,000 copies. And today, 6 years later, I got into my 13th edition of this same book, and we sold 163,000 copies in French. And it's also published in Holland, in Italy, in Spain, and the last copy is in Romania.
Are you planning to have it translated into English?
Well, the Find Out Guide is in English. It belongs to Belinda Barnes. It's very short and simple, but you've got already some books in English about e-numbers. And in America, it's not the same codes, mainly for food coloring, for example. So there is already some books in America as well about e-numbers. But it will be possible that my Dutch editor would like to do my book in English. But it's mainly about e-numbers, like from Europe, you know, like E621 is for MSG, 951 is for aspartame, and so on. So there is a few links about aspartame as well in English. I could send it to you. But it's worldwide. Unfortunately, it's not banned yet, and is in every country, and it's really, really sad.
Well, I would say it's pure evil. And
yes, it's pure evil.
Yeah, and let me just ask, because I'm confused. Are you saying that in Europe, rather than putting the names of the additives on the packages, they're using these codes instead, so you don't even know what it is?
Yes. I mean, sometimes for the main problem in England, in France, for example, is sugar-free gums, yeah? So on sugar-free gums, they put the labels is on the side of the packet. It's very, very small letters, under 1 millimeter high. And then they put sweeteners, two dots, and they put aspartame or acesulfame K. But then if you go and buy some yogurts, Danone is the main brand here, and Nestle, and they will put sweetener and then E951 and E950. So people, if they don't know what is 951 or 950, they just buy it. They don't even try to read the labels most of the time. And they go home. But because aspartame can trigger addiction, then when they get to the end of the meal, they won't get only one yogurt, but two or three, thinking, oh, it's sugar-free. You know, it's healthy.
Right.
And that's the trick. That's a big, big, a big lie, as you were talking earlier. And I've got a case at the moment. She's 25. She's called Julie. And she's been hooked on Diet Coke for 5 years. And she's overweight. She put lots of 30 kilos on. And she can't work anymore. And she's just discovered about aspartame last week. So she just stopped Diet Coke about 5 days ago, and she's got very very severe headaches and things, and she can't even get up at the moment. She's only 25, And she didn't know. She thought it was healthy and a good idea to drink Diet Coke. And we are in France here in 2012. I can't believe it. So
well,
people
get lost. And you brought up a very good point also. Isn't it amazing that aspartame, because as it's metabolized, it breaks down into very dangerous you know, additives of their own, and that these affect the eyesight. So, of course, if your eyesight's affected, you're going to be less able to read the list of ingredients on the packages. And especially, that is mind-boggling that they're allowed to just put sweetener and then put E590. Like who's supposed to know what the heck that is? You know, it's an obvious attempt to hide the fact that the product contains these toxic sweeteners or MSG from the people, because many people are becoming aware of these issues.
Yeah.
So I would just like to read. I have all kinds of information on aspartame in front of me. I've done a few shows on aspartame, quite a few with Dr. Betty Martini, who yeah. is the leading aspartame warrior here in the States. And the ten top worst sources of aspartame are chewing gum, flavored water, quote-unquote sugar-free products, drink powders, cooking sauces, children's medicine, cereals, yogurts, diet soda, and tabletop sweeteners. And I just want to point out that especially with chewing gum, when you're chewing gum with this toxic poison in it, it actually gets absorbed by the blood vessels under your tongue. And so that's a direct route to the brain. And that's probably one of the worst things that people can do, is to be chewing gum with this stuff in it. As a matter of fact, it became extremely obvious to me that this poisoning was intentional, because it's not just sugar-free gum. At least here in the States, you can buy any sugared gum, and it's also got aspartame in it. So if it's a sugared gum, why are they putting aspartame in it? The only reason is to poison the people.
Well, I would say, first reason, yes, you're right, to poison the people. But second is to trigger addiction.
Right.
Because the more you chew it, the more you want it. So in France, where it's a joke, but we are lucky enough, I would say, to have a young lady. She's 38 now. And so when I met her in 2007, she already had my book. But she was chewing over 200 sugar-free gums a day. She was absolutely addicted. She was stealing the boxes of sugar-free gums into the supermarket. She couldn't stop. She was, like, addicted. It was really, really bad. And we had cases in New Zealand with Betty Martini, with chewing up to 50 gums a day, you know. I had cases in Paris chewing 150 gums a day. And this young woman, she was chewing over that. She was 200, up to 280 a day. And, you know, when you think about it, when people are addicted and they chew 5 boxes a day of gums, they make money. But the good thing is, in 2007, in France, people were chewing 13 million gums a day altogether. But by 2009, the company Weirgaze and Cadbury's were losing money because they sell less and less sugar-free gums now. But still, the bigger consumers are children and teenagers. And when you chew too many gums all week long for many years, you can end up with infertility problem, with dementia, with depression, with anorexia. You can have brain tumor, you can have a stroke, and nobody's talking about it in France. Absolutely nobody. You can have epilepsy, you can just amazing all the side effects you can suffer from, but you don't make the link. So you go to the doctor and he gives you medication, and we've got over 300 medication with us for 10 minutes, especially antibiotics for babies and children here. It's just like, you think, wait a minute. So you feel tired, you go and get some vitamin C tablets, And aspartame is there. That's the point.
Wow.
I mean, well, just amazing.
Right. Well, it's always the big picture, and that's why I encourage listeners to check out the diagram. The best website to access, because it's the easiest to negotiate, is my reversing vaccine-induced diseases.com site. And if you go to the vaccine-induced disease, the VID tab, you'll see it says click here to print out Dr. Crowley's diagrams, and then and you listen to the video of me explaining them. So it's always the big picture, and that's what I like to point out. One of my main focuses is vaccinations, but with everything they're doing to poison us, it's truly amazing that anybody has any amount of health left, and it's only by educating yourself as to what the dangerous things are that you're going to be able to protect yourself, because, of course, all governments are controlled by psychopaths and the people that are, you know, basically appearing to us as our leaders are just puppets for these monsters that are intentionally causing all this disease, because they're there's no money to be made by, you know, reversing disease. What they do is cause disease, and then they have their toxic drugs, which cure nothing but create side effects. But, yes, the aspartame connection is very important. And, in fact, they're even putting these excitotoxins, MSG, and aspartame in vaccines. I have a list here that you had provided me access to. The RotaShield vaccine contains monosodium glutamate. So, yeah. Of course, people have to ask themselves, why are they putting MSG in that vaccine for little babies? There's also a BCG vaccine. This is a vaccine for tuberculosis, which actually gives you tuberculosis. It's a live strain of mycobacterium. That also contains monosodium glutamate, as does the chickenpox vaccine made by Merck, and there's a typhoid vaccine made by Aventis Pasteur, which contains aspartame. Now, one of the reasons that this is so important is because the inoculation process causes corruption of the immune system. The aluminum adjuvants in vaccines cause the autoantibody production to be really hyped up. And if you're inoculated with MSG or aspartame, you're going to develop antibodies against these compounds. And then you take it in you know, these substances I mentioned, although that's just the tip of the iceberg, you're actually going to develop increased autoimmune disease because you're allergic to these products because they were injected into you.
Yeah, that's very severe. And aspartame does interact with medication and vaccinations and every chemicals you can put on your skin or you can swallow. So I've got a few cases in France. I mean, it would be worth comparing with other cases, but I know a mom here. She was chewing sugar-free gums when pregnant 12 years ago, and she was using a lot of mobile phones because she was working for a mobile phone company when pregnant. So she was having on herself two mobile phones all day long. And obviously she had a difficult delivery for this baby. And then when he was 4 months old, he had vaccinations. And after the third set of vaccination, he developed epilepsy. And this kind of epilepsy just destroys your body and disforms it. So today this boy is 11. He's in a wheelchair. He cannot talk, cannot walk. He's just dribbling all day long. He's like a vegetable, and he goes to swallow 30 medication a day. I mean, can you believe this poor little boy? And this mom is so brave. I mean, she's just buying all the wheelchairs he needs, and she's got a special car, and they had to buy a special house so he could come in. I mean, this little boy will never say, "Mommy, I love you for what you do for me." He will never play football, nothing. And she didn't dare to have another child, but until I met her, she was not aware about vaccine toxicity and aspartame toxicity. This is a lack of information. You know, you don't tell people and you just say, "Oh, it's safe for you, it's okay. And then she's got to live with this little boy in this terrible wheelchair in this terrible condition. And just, like, absolutely shocking.
Well, actually, a lot of these conditions can be reversed, and that's what I teach people how to do. You can detox the vaccines, you can detox the aspartame. There are homeopathic remedies to deal with just about all of these poisons. The problem is, the longer he remains in this state, and especially the longer he's taking the medication, then the ability to be healed goes down. And, of course, I'm sure that the medications are causing him all kinds of side effects as well.
Yeah.
That's why I always tell people they must check out the side effects that Big Pharma admits to before they swallow anything from a white coat. You know, you can just put in the name of a drug, type in side effects, and read for yourself what Big Pharma admits to. And in almost all cases, one of the side effects of the drug is the very reason you're taking the drug. Anti-seizure drugs cause seizures, antidepressants cause depression, the list goes on and on. Because they have no wanting to get people healed, because then they go off the drugs, and this is how Big Pharma remains this this monster in our lives that's causing so many problems for people. But as I said, the most important things people have to do is educate themselves. And they have to learn what's out there. There's lots of information out there about these toxic substances, but you will never hear it from the white coats, because they have no compunction to heal anybody. And in fact, if they speak the truth, they will lose their license, because the licenses are used to control the doctors and keep them in the box, to keep them, you know, prescribing instead of teaching people, you know, what they need to do, what they need to avoid to stay healthy, and what they need. I mean, the word detox isn't even known to doctors. When I first started doing this work 15 years ago, I realized they don't mention the word detox, because if they did, doctors would realize everything they're doing is toxic. So, you know, the first thing you want to do is stop doing the toxic things, and then detox afterwards. But you have to stop doing these things. And I'm sure that no one you work with has ever had a doctor ask them, are you taking aspartame? Are you taking MSG? These questions never come up. You're never asked, what is your pesticide exposure or anything of that nature? And, of course, one of the worst assault vaccines, the doctors are actually doing it. So this is what people have to realize. My goal is to cause the death of medicine. It's a very big job I've taken on. But I'm you know, finding many others who are knowing what I'm knowing. And the best thing we can do is to educate the public, because, of course, they can vote with their pocketbook. If they stop buying any of these products, these companies would go out of business.
Absolutely.
Now, when you found out the dangers of aspartame, I'm sure you tried to tell your husband how dangerous these products were. What was his response?
Well, when I found out about aspartame, yeah, I was very lucky, actually, because about 2 weeks before, I traveled to France for my brother's wedding, and I was in the middle of my divorce, and I felt a bit sad. You know, I think I'm going to my brother's wedding, and I'm sitting here with all those people around having a party, and, you know, I'm divorcing. And anyway, just at the end of the wedding, my sister-in-law asked me to give her my booklet about e-numbers, you know, the English version. And I said, okay, why do you want it? She said, oh, I can read English, and I could use it to read the labels for the baby, because she had a baby already with my brother. I said, okay, I'll give it to you. And it was such a good thing. So I came back to England, and I ordered another copy. And when I opened this new copy, it was the very first update in 16 years. 1-6, and they realized that aspartame and MSG were causing problems with the brain. And I turned the page, and there was a list of 25 side effects. And I started reading it, and I went like, oh my God. So most of it, my ex-husband had sudden rages, insomnia, hyperactivity, eyesight problems, hypersexuality as well, and I felt like, oh my, I just like, I was shocked. I realized what happened in my life for 10 years and why I was divorcing. So the first thing, I got the girls from the school because my ex-husband was living somewhere else already in London. And I went to get the girls and I told Melody, she was 8, and I said, when you go and see Daddy, please, darling, do not drink his Diet Coke anymore because he can trigger brain tumors. And she said, okay, I'll tell him. So one weekend he came to collect Melody because her sister would not go and see him anymore. And at one stage they were thirsty and he gave a bottle to Melody, said, you can drink that. And she was so clever, she still is, and she read the label, she said, no, Daddy, I'm not having this, it's got aspartame in it. And he said, oh, it doesn't do anything, your mom is so stupid. Look, and our dad drank the whole bottle. And then he called me on the phone a few days after the weekend, and Melody was back to school, and he said, well, you know, I was with Melody, and I had a friend with me, I've got a witness. I said, yeah. And I wanted to give her some drinks, and she said no, because there was aspartame in it. And you are so stupid, he was telling me. He was harassing me on the phone. I was like, oh, really? And he said, well, I drank it. It doesn't do anything to me. I said, listen, it's not my fault, but we've got a beautiful daughter, and she's so clever. She's more clever than you. And he would not stop. He's been addicted for 10 years already, so... that was too late. So I decided to divorce this man anyway. And I traveled in February 2004 to meet Belinda Barnes, the founder of Foresight, who sent you the website. And I went to meet Belinda Barnes. She was 75 already. And I said, well, you must update your book. And there is more food additives. And thank you very much for putting a bit of the truth about aspartame. Because I got a book called Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills, from Dr. Russell Blaylock, and I was starting reading it. And she said, well, you know, I don't have time to update my book because we are working so hard to help people to have healthy children. So she said, I can give you names of experts, you know, and specialists, and then you can update my book, and then you can do your own book in French or other languages if you want. I said, okay. So we decided that the English version would be her, and then the French, Spanish, whatever, would be my babies. So here we go. So we came back to France, and without telling my ex-husband, anyway, it's too late. And it was quite a miracle. We settled in a new house, and Melody was 9 at this stage, and she said, come on, mommy, let's go on the internet and look for the full list of side effects of aspartame to see how many daddies had. I said, okay. So we found this famous 92 side effects list. You know, this 92 side effect list was written by the FDA in America in April 1995. And so we found this list, we printed it, and we counted. And my ex-husband was having 37 side effects of the list. I mean, it was the first case I was counting the side effects. And after that, I have been offered a wonderful book. It's about 1,000 pages, and it's called Aspartame Disease, an Ignored Epidemic. And it was published, written by Dr. H.G. Roberts, that you must have heard of. And Dr. Roberts just listened to his patient, because he was dealing with people, not with rats or monkeys or guinea pigs or cats or dogs. And those people were coming to his hospital saying, I've got this, I've got that. So he wrote this book, which was published in 2001. And inside the book is 1,300 cases of people sick of aspartame. And in the middle, page 599, you've got a survey questionnaire for persons with suspected reaction to products containing aspartame. And I filled this questionnaire nearly 200 times now. And with French people, people from Belgium, people from other countries in Europe, and it's always the same side effect coming back. And it's so frightening, really. It does affect children, it does affect teenagers, elderly people, everybody, and it's very, very, very severe now. So it's a real genocide, as Dr. Roberts used to say himself. And we must find a way to stop it. We must tell people, we must inform people, we must educate children in schools. We must do something about it because they need to know.
Well, so getting back to my question about your husband's response, apparently his response was the same as the response to many people who just don't want to do their research about vaccines and other things. They just assume that these products would not be allowed to be put into the, food supply or be used on people, that the agencies are there to protect us, and of course they're actually there to protect the people that are poisoning us. So in his arrogance, he decided to ignore you.
Yeah.
And now look and see what's happening, and as you said, it's just going to get worse. As a matter of fact, I know of people that's all they drink is diet soda.
They cannot drink water anymore because it hasn't got any taste. They're just addicted. You must know that in aspartame there is some 10% of methanol, which is worse than alcohol, and this is the guilty ingredient in it. And then you get addicted. It's really, really dangerous. And this methanol just transforms itself into your body into a formaldehyde. And you've got a very good book about it called While Science Sleeps. It's just brand new. It just came out early this year. And it does explain exactly what's happening with this formaldehyde. So people...
Wait. Give out the author, please. So people...
Yeah, it's Professor Woodrow Monte. And he's been studying the side effects of Woodrow Monte. And the book is While Science... He's got a very good website as well. Science Speaks.
Okay.
And I'm a friend. I'm very pleased to be one of his friends. And I'm doing what I can to get this book in French because English people speak English, obviously. People in Holland, Germany, and even Belgium, most of the time they do speak English. But in France, people don't speak English.
Right.
And it's a very big problem because, first of all, they don't learn very good English at school. And then they're not very good in languages. So everything is written about aspartame and any studies, scientific studies about soy, about pesticide, anything is always written in English. And French people can't read it. So it's just terrible. I felt like I'm an extraterrestre. You know, I'm coming from another planet and I live in France and I know all this. And I've got all those this knowledge, and I can't tell everybody in 1 minute, you know. So, it's very difficult for me sometimes to repeat and repeat all the time to many people as I can. But luckily, we must find a way to spread the news and inform people so they can think for themselves, they can learn how to read the labels, to get better, feel better, think again, and then discover other topics, you know, they can... Think about cosmetic, about vaccine, about the chemicals, conspiracy in the sky and things. But as long as they go shopping and buy toxic food, their brain is like walking in a fog.
Right.
They can't think clearly. They're just like, you know, zombies.
Exactly. And how old is Melody now?
Melody is 17 now, and the little sister is 14.
And has she had any success in getting her father to read any of these books or check out any of this information?
No, never.
So she must realize, just as we do, the monumental task ahead of us, because, as I said, it's always a power play. I see this all the time, especially regarding vaccines, parents that call me. It used to be that it was always the mothers that were investigating and were trying to protect their children.
Yeah.
But more and more now I'm seeing it's the fathers, and it becomes like a power play between the couple.
Yeah.
In fact, if either one of the parents has any medical people in their families, that makes matters much, much worse.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. We've got the same here.
Yes. Because medicine has become a religion. The white coats are the priests, the vaccines are the baptismal rites, and it's just assumed that it's safe. And if anybody should even suggest that this is a bad thing to do, than the person actually doing their homework and checking out the research, which is abundant. Thankfully, we have the internet to educate us, and I always tell people, you know, obviously you have to use your discernment because not everything on the internet is true, and we have all kinds of minions and disinformers put in to confuse people. But if you actually go to the people in the Aspartium community, you've mentioned some of the ones who are doing the cutting-edge work. I also suggest a very important documentary to the listeners. You can access it free on the internet. It's called Sweet Misery.
Yes.
It's an unbelievably well-done documentary about, most importantly, how did aspartame get approved in the first place? And this monster that is involved in so much damage to the United States, Rumsfeld, he was highly involved in getting that aspartame approved because initially, back in the day, you know, the FDA wasn't totally corrupt as it is now. And when they were first given this product to evaluate, they decided it was a poison, and they were actually considering bringing charges against people who were even considering to put this into the food supply. And in comes Donald Rumsfeld, and the next thing you know, it's been approved. And this is a terrible scourge on society. As a matter of fact, I wanted to bring up what's being called aspartame on steroids. This is another sweetener called Neotame, and it is so much more dangerous even than aspartame. Let's see, I have a paper here about it that's on Mercola.com. It's 13,000 times sweeter than table sugar and about 30 times sweeter than aspartame. So, of course, this is going to be extremely even more addictive. And they're putting it all over into baked goods and all kinds of things. So far, apparently, it's not allowed in organic foods, although they're constantly trying to find ways around that. One of the very scary things mentioned in this article on Mercola.com, it's entitled, "Is This More Dangerous Than Aspartame Sweetener Hiding in Your Food?" They're also using it as a substitute for molasses in cattle feed. So basically, you're getting it in your diet, even if you're not, you know, eating it in food directly. The cows that you're eating have been fed this sweetener for, you know, their entire lives. And it can be an even more potent and dangerous neurotoxin, immunotoxin, and excitotoxin than aspartame. And there's been no studies. Monsanto, their own pre-approval studies of Neotame revealed adverse reactions, and there were no independent studies that found Neotame to save. But, of course, as always, that doesn't matter. The Neotame was approved by the FDA for general use in July 2002. And, you know, so people that believe, you know, that, like I said, these agencies, I don't know what the agency is in France. You have the FDA. The FDA, taxpayer-funded, is supposed to protect the citizens from toxic poisons. They're actually protecting the toxic poison. Go ahead.
Well, in France, we've got a new office now called ANSES. And they just filed a report about sweeteners during pregnancy in June this year. And a friend of mine is a scientific man in Strasbourg, and he sent it to me. And they just listened to some doctors in the south of France and considered a handful of studies. And then they wrote this 30 pages report about sweeteners during pregnancy. So it went from aspartame to acetylfam K and all sorts of things. And this report is absolutely full of lies. And I was absolutely shocked. So they asked for new studies, and they wait for the European Office of Authorities for the Health. And it's called EFSA. So it's based in Italy. And EFSA has got a website. I could send it to you as well. And EFSA said that in September of this year, on the 30th of September, they would decide about aspartame because they are thinking about it for the last 4 years now. But then suddenly in July, on the 27th of July, they decided they would wait until next year to decide about aspartame. So for different reasons, they want to know more about what aspartame becomes once you swallow it. So there is part of it which is called phenylalanine. It's 50% of the component of aspartame. And this phenylalanine is decomposing itself into DKP, into your body, which is can trigger brain tumors. So they pretend they want to know more about DKP. So they want to wait for May 2013 before deciding to remove aspartame from Europe or not. Meanwhile, my problem is that they don't want to do anything about warning people. So I took photograph in the supermarket last week where they sold bottles and bottles of Diet Coke and Coca-Cola and say, this is happiness for the whole family. I'm sorry to say, but when you had a stroke or you had a brain tumor or you are waiting, you are over obese because of Diet Coke, you know, it's not happiness anymore. When you got MS, when you got fibromyalgia, or you got lupus, it's not happiness anymore. I mean, those people are just lying. And because it's so addicting, they even created a new size bottle here in France. It's 2 liters bottle in France. And they, for Coca-Cola Zero. And people buy packs, it's family packs for the summer. I mean, I saw it. I was like, oh my God. And you got the family drinking it all day long, even with children. And you think, you want to scream, you want to shout, you want to do something, but sometimes it's too late and you can't tell people. I cannot tell everybody all the time. I mean, sometimes you can see it, it's too late. And it's so frightening.
Well, not to mention the fact that people believe that there is a idea in place amongst these agencies where things are not allowed on the market until they're proven safe. In reality, they're allowed on the market, and then the people have to prove they're not safe, which, of course, in order to do that, you have to have scientists that have a conscience and are not, you know, in the back pockets of especially Monsanto. In the case of aspartame, you have to have, if you want to move forward with these termination of selling these products, usually you have to get attorneys with a class action suit. Of course, the courts are totally corrupt, and then you have judges in the back pocket of these big pharma subsidiaries as well. So that's what people have to realize. Things do not have to be proven safe before they're unleashed on the public. Why is that? Of course, that's the way it should be. But in fact, they have to be proven to be unsafe after they're already released, and because there's so much scientific research fraud, this is almost impossible. We see this all the time, such as in the case of cell phones, you know, which have been shown to cause brain tumors and things of that nature. As you are doing more and more of these toxic things, there's an additive effect. But you always have scientists for the cell phone companies that will say, oh, there's no proven association of cell phone use with brain tumors or anything of that nature. And so this is what we're up against in terms of trying to stop these horrors being unleashed on people. But that is why people have to take it upon themselves to do their own research instead of believing the agencies that are lying to them.
Yeah. Well, I believe there is quite a few people now thinking twice. I mean, when I do talks, because I go to schools for primary school, I go to colleges and high school, and when you see teenagers, I had a group of 90 teenagers age 15, 16 last May, and we made a talk for them, and I said, okay, well, my name is Corinne Bouget, and I said, I'm 46. When I was your age, I was going to school like you, and I have no friends with cancer. I never heard about diabetes. I never heard about epilepsy or stroke or heart attack. You know, my grandmother died of cancer when I was a baby, but I never had any friends with cancer. So I said, okay, now I'm going to ask you some questions. I had 90 teenagers in front of me, and I said, how many of you know somebody with Alzheimer's disease? So there was about 10 putting their hands up. And then I said, how many know somebody with Parkinson's disease? and about 12 or 15 put their hands up. When I go to stroke, you know, and heart attack, I mean, over half of them put their hands up. When I go to cancer, about 65 of them put their hands up. And the teachers were watching me and watching the kids, and they thought, oh my God. So now when you talk to those teenagers and they think they've got granddad with Alzheimer, or they had a mom with brain tumor, or an uncle or brother and sister with cancer or leukemia, then they think twice. And then they take the information and they go home and say, oh, mommy, stop drinking that. Daddy, stop chewing sugar-free gums. You don't know, but a woman came to school and I know that now. And then they start to think. And the magical thing, we started about 5 years ago now. I've got more and more teenagers and students contacting me to build projects for the whole schools. So, and then I give out documents, I talk to them on the phone, they build films, and they tell those teachers and they tell everybody. And I even got not many, but about 3-4 doctors in France who are telling their patients to buy my book. You know, I even had a 34-year-old young man. He had been on junk food for 20 years, and he was fat, overweight, with couldn't sleep properly, couldn't talk properly anymore, couldn't think properly, which is the idea. And he was covered with eczema and psoriasis. And he got my book in March 2010, found my book in a bookshop, and then he went home and he had a look at it and he went, oh my God, I'm sick because of what I eat. So he changed his diet completely. And within 6 months, he could sleep again. He lost so much weight, and his skin was fine. He didn't have any more psoriasis or eczema. And he took my books with him to his doctor, to his GP. And the doctor looked at him and he said, oh my God, you look so well. What happened? And this young man was 34, and he said, well, oh doctor, you can't believe. I went to a bookshop and I found a little book for like €9 and it saved my life. And the doctor took my book. Sorry, that was so funny. I wish I would have been here. And his doctor took the book and he said, oh, I'm going to buy it. You know, I'm taking notes. And he said, this is very interesting. And he couldn't believe how well his young patient was. So little by little, it will get there, you know, but it's still very slow in a way. But, you know, it's a long, hard work.
Well, we'll see what the doctor actually does with the information. He may use it for his own family.
Yeah.
But one of the problems that we have here in the States, the licensure boards, as I said, they go against any doctor who speaks the truth about really anything. And so what I've experienced multiple times over the past 15 years, I've had at least 25 medical doctors that have come to me for help for themselves or their family members, and never do they ever share any information with their patients. They just keep doing what they're doing. One of my two favorite cases, I had two patients that had hepatitis B and were supposed to get liver transplants. And by doing my protocol, they got rid of the hepatitis B, their livers healed. The transplant surgeons asked them, what did you do? They told them what they did, and the doctor said, well, we don't want to know about that. Because, in fact, just imagine how Big Pharma will go out of business. And yeah, that's what people have to realize. You know, follow the money. Big Pharma is not at all interested in healing anything. It's all about creating disease and then, you know, using toxic drugs with side effects.
Yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? It's all about money, as we know.
And depopulation. You know, if you check out the Agenda 21 of the UN, you know, they want to decrease the population by 90%. And there's many ways they're doing it. Of course, the wars are highly involved. But that even brings up different things they're doing with the soldiers. You know, these soldiers, you know, believe that they're serving their countries as they sign up to be cannon fodder for the psychopaths controlling the world. And so many of these things are being done to the soldiers. In fact, you know, I realized years ago that this Gulf War syndrome has many components, and of course aspartame in the diet sodas is part of it, depleted uranium, pyridostigmine pills, the list is endless. the actual organism involved in Gulf War syndrome, which causes the Gulf War plague, which is actually transmissible to family members, is the Mycoplasma incognitus they put in vaccines. But all of these things are being done, especially to the soldiers, and it's obvious to me that they don't want those soldiers coming home and reporting to their families and friends what's actually going on over in the Middle East. And so they make them sick, and eventually if they keep going to the VA, they'll end up dead. And then, of course, they don't get, you know, their benefits, and they can't talk.
Yeah. Absolutely amazing.
So what kind of retribution have you encountered for speaking the truth?
Retribution? Apart from the success of my book, and apart from all the success stories of people who got my book and got better, you know, they even helped a woman who was in a wheelchair because of aspartame. There is a brand of sweets called Ricola. I'm sure you've got some in America. And those Ricola sweets are filled with aspartame, and they pretend to be healthy. So, you know, I helped this woman for 2 years, and then she could, you know, I found people to detoxify her, naturopaths, you know, and then she's dancing rock and roll today. I mean, she's so amazing. But just after I met this woman, was in April 2006, my book was already sold at 11,000 copies in 2 months. And about 11 days after I met this woman in a wheelchair, I was due to go to court to see a judge for children to talk about what the social services had written about me. And that was the 21st of April 2006. So I went to court, and I decided I would not take the children with me, because every time we saw this judge woman, she was making them cry. So I left the girls at the private school where they were going, and I went to court. And when I got there, I felt like the sky was falling down. There was a strange woman sitting there, and she looked at me, said, "Good afternoon, Mrs. Gouget." And I said, "Excuse me, do I know you?" Because after my book came out, I met so many people, I was, you know, losing the track of people I met. And she said, "Yes, I am the social worker. I came to your house 6 months ago." And I replied, "Oh, I'm sorry, you know, my book came out. I met so many people now that I only remember the important people, yeah?" And this woman was so toxic. And anyway, behind me came another social worker, the one who was on my file as well. And she had a big blue bag with her, like a brand new sports bag. And I was wondering why she had such a big bag with her. And she asked the lady at the desk, "Can you keep my bag? I'm going on holiday after the court hearing." And I felt like, why would she leave her bag at the desk? She could leave it in her car or at home, you know. She doesn't need to leave it there. But I didn't know I was falling into a conspiracy, a trap. And my solicitor arrived. She was late. And then we went to see the judge, and she was hysterical. "This woman is terrible. She must be in her 50s. And she looked at me. She said, "Where are the children?" I said, "Well, they're at school because you are naughty and you always make them cry, you know." And she said, "Well, I'm naughty." I said, "Yes, you are." I said, Melody didn't want me to come and see you, but, you know, she's at school. And I said, "We came here to talk about the social services report, which I didn't read. I haven't read yet. So, you know, you don't need the girls." And she looked at me in the face and she said, "You are talking about aspartame." I said, "Yeah." "You are talking about MSD?" I said, "Yes." "And you eat only organic food. You're crazy."
Oh.
And I went like, "Excuse me." So I realized there was no clerk of justice. But nobody told me it was illegal, you know, and she was taking notes as she wanted. And I could have stand up and say, "Well, there is no clerk of justice. This is illegal. I'm leaving the room." But I didn't know. My own solicitor was into the conspiracy, you know.
Yeah.
So I said, "So what?" I said, "I published a book. It's already a bestseller, and I'm writing an article for a magazine about organic food and about aspartame." And she said, she wrote on her note, she said, "Mrs. Gouget got some documents out." And out of the blue, She looked at me. She said, well, I've spoken to your ex-husband all morning. I'm going to send the social services to collect the girls from school. I'm going to talk to them. And tonight, they will leave with your ex-husband. I went like, what? And I looked at her and said, you're not allowed to do this because the French police has been doing an investigation for 2 years for sexual assault, violence and threat from my ex-husband onto Melody and Coralie in England when we used to live there. And the girls never saw their dad for 2 years because we are protected by the police. And I said, you cannot do this. Please go upstairs and get the police file from the other judge. This woman looked at me. She said, I do what I want.
Wow.
It was like, I felt like I was in a nightmare. I was going to wake up in my beautiful house with my beautiful children and all my friends, and I thought, well, that's it, you know, she's not going to do it, it's impossible. And my solicitor was very under the cover of all this, and she said, oh, you know, maybe we could put the children in a foster family care until July, and then because they've got social life, you know. And the judge would not reply, and she asked us to leave the court and to come back at 5 o'clock. So meanwhile, I went to call a few friends. I was in shock. I was crying. My voice was dropping and breaking down. And a friend of mine said, well, call a solicitor in Strasbourg. He's too far to help you, but he will give you some advice. So I got the mobile phone number. So I called this man, and he said, well, Mrs. Bouget, you must stay calm. I said, what? I said, I'm going to lose custody of my two daughters, and I'm going to be forced to go with a pedophile. He's violent, he's paranoid, and he's really, you know, big and massive, and I must stay calm. He said, yeah, if you burst into tears or try to aggress the judge, she will lock you up. And he told me there was a special room under the court in France called the mousetrap. So they put you into the mousetrap for a few days, and then you go to psychiatric ward, yeah? And I went like, oh my God. And I knew that some psychiatric expert said I was crazy because I talk about aspartame in my file, but there was some counter expertise I've been asking for a second opinion, but the judge would not go and read that. So I had to go back to court. A friend of mine joined me. She is a witness of this day. And then I saw the girls, and I just had time to give them a hug and say, well, I'm sorry, but the judge believes mommy is crazy, and she's going to force you to go with daddy. And my two little girls screamed their head off like a fire alarm, you know, and they just cling to my body. And the judge came and said, let's go to my office. And I had to stay in the waiting room with the school bags. And it was so organized that the girls had to leave about 2 hours later in the dark. There was nobody left, absolutely nobody left in the court. The whole building was dark. And they had to go by the back door in front of me, screaming their head off. And it was the worst day of my life after 10 years of hell due to aspartame. And my ex-husband was there, and he was not, he was like a puppet. He was sitting there. Just watching the judge, like a statue, he was not moving his eyes, nothing, like if he was manipulating the judge, or corrupting her, I suppose, but it was so amazing, and they went with the blue bag, and with the girls, behind the court hearing, this evening, it was a Friday, and they were due to stay with daddy for a week in France, and then come back to see the judge. And then maybe she would allow them to go to England. Because I was sick and I was dangerous and I had to get better. So they were placed with their dad for 6 months. And I was due to see them once a month under supervision because I'm dangerous. I eat organic food.
Right.
And this is not a joke.
No, I've lived it myself. That's why when I initially spoke to you, you know, basically our stories are similar. You know, I went through the same thing. I talk about vaccines. My ex-husband is also a pedophile, and he was given custody of my son, and now I've had no contact with him for over a decade. And this is what people have to realize, that the children are being tortured as a way to torture the mothers. So two questions So I would like to ask you, one, did you ever get to talk to them to find out what went on in the judge's chambers? And where the hell was your solicitor? Why wasn't she sitting in there with the children? How can this be allowed to go on for the judge to even have access to them in the first place? She could have been serving them aspartame, you know, while she's talking to them. You have no idea what's going on.
Well, the thing is, before the girls were fetched from the school by the social services, my solicitor was due to be back at 5 o'clock with me. And her specialty was children's rights. You know, she was very famous for that in this town. It was Montpellier in the south of France. And, of course, when I came back to court, my solicitor was not there. And the office was a few meters away, you know. So, you know, the girls were taken into the judge's office. Then my ex-husband arrived, and they were confronted with Philippe, with no solicitor to defend them. And when I managed to get my solicitor on the phone, I said, "Where are you?" I said, "You are due to be there at 5, and it's nearly 5:45 now." She said, "Oh, the judge called me and asked me to come back at 6 instead of 5. I was ready to burst. I'm so lucky, and she's so lucky, this woman's solicitor, that I had a girlfriend there, because I would have killed this woman. And anyway, it all happened so quickly, and the solicitor did nothing. We had video evidences, yeah? We had a videotape with Philippe filming genital parts of our children and filming himself naked, you know? So the judge refused to watch this. You know, that's all my solicitor asked for the judge to watch the video, but the judge said no. So, you know, it was all pre-organized because of what I do and because of my book. So I didn't know everything, but it took me a few years to find good information about this woman solicitor, and I realized that she was abused when she was 8 as a child, and then she grew up and she became a solicitor for children, but then, you know, she became as well a Freemason. And yeah. She knew, and I heard about Freemasonry, but that's all, you know, I didn't know I was going to meet some and they would destroy my life. So this woman, she's a solicitor for children, and she's been abused when she was little, and she doesn't defend children, actually, and she's a Freemason. But the problem was, as well, that my ex-husband's solicitor is another Freemason, so they know each other. And I didn't know that, nothing. So it took me a long time to discover that. And obviously, I only saw my children once, on the 1st of August 2006, as my ex-husband was coming to the south of France for a holiday, and I was allowed to see them for 2 hours in the room. So to make sure they wouldn't lie into their report, I took the freedom to bring a video camera. And organic food, of course, and, you know, pen and paper so the girls could draw something for me. And they didn't like it. I was watched by somebody, and he was terrible, and he was taking Mickey off me. "Oh, where do you find organic lemonade, Mrs. Goujet? Oh, you've got organic biscuits as well, and sweets." I said, "Oh." But because I was filming, I was staying calm. But at one stage, the camcorder started to be hot, so I stopped filming, and then that's where my solicitor called me and to say that the girls would have to go with Philippe again, and at the end of the meeting, and blah blah blah, and another solicitor called me, and then she asked to talk to the man watching us, and he said, "Oh, I can't understand what she's saying, she's got a Spanish accent, blah blah blah," and he went so quickly. I was still on a mobile phone with his solicitor. The social workers came into the room, dragged the girls out of the room, and I was, please, asking the solicitor to send somebody, you know. And my best friend, who is 70, was waiting for us into the corridor. So he was there. And the social worker dragged Melody in the corridor, so to go away from me. And I was in the room. And Melody tried to pull out and come back to me. But the social worker smacked her in her back, you know, pushed her violently to take her away. So I couldn't believe what I I was, you know, witnessing. And those people are supposed to protect children, and they do the opposite. They just do complete opposite, and it's not only France, it's America, I suppose, and it's England, it's worldwide. After that, I was encouraged to leave the building because, you know, I was going too far. Solicitors were calling me, it was a mistake, and I was like, what? So I was not allowed to say goodbye to the girls. I never saw the children after that. They pretended I was dangerous because at the end of, because I came into the room, took organic food, and I was filming, and then I stopped filming. But then they said that at the end, I lost control of myself, which is a full lie. They said I took my children into my arms, and I screamed they would not go back with their pedophile father in England. And I never said that, never, 1 minute. So, upon this fake report again, the judge decided I could not see the girls for 1 year. But obviously they were in England, so I tried to reopen the case in England in 2007, because the children have been there for over a year, and to reopen the case using a European law. And my ex-husband's solicitor, the Freemason, knew about those court hearings in London. I got a letter. She sent a letter to the judge in France, the one who took the children away. And she said, oh, Mrs. Gouget is organizing court hearing in London, which is no good. So please do something about it. And once I got to the last court hearing in London, I lost it. I lost the court case. And I could not believe. So it's all linked together. And but I won't give up. I only spoken twice to Melody. In 2009, I managed to find Melody on Facebook. And then we spoke as a secret. She was in the library, and we spoke together for about a few minutes. And then my ex-husband discovered everything about the emails we exchanged, and he blocked everything. He changed the telephone of Melody. And to take revenge, he put Melody into the Air Cadet, the Royal Air Force Air Cadet. So that was just a disaster. So I spoke to Melody again last year in May for her 16th birthday, because I had to call Philippe in his office. I found the number. And I said, hi, my name is Corinne Gouget. I am the mother of Melody Blanc and your ex-wife. Can I talk to Melody, please? And he was shocked. So he went to get Melody, and I spoke to her about 30 minutes later. And I recorded everything. It was terrible. So he blocked all communication and contact with Coralie, because I suppose he's still doing probably sexual things to Coralie, and if he talks, you know, he goes to jail, so I'm very concerned about Coralie's well-being as well. But
wait a minute, if she talks, he won't go to jail. She will be charged with making things up or something of that nature, because the Freemasons are always protected. And I'm just curious, in any of the couple of conversations you had, I'm sure they were afraid to tell you what was going on. Did they mention anything about how they're doing?
Well, when I spoke to Melody the first time, she was free to talk. So we spoken about what's happening in the school. We spoken about what's happening with the judge. And because the woman who took the children away, Mrs. Chauvet, she was shooter. In 2009, she was walking in the street, and one of the father, she took the children away from, he shot her. So she didn't die. She had some bullets in her lungs, and she went to hospital. And, after that, she had to leave this court, and she was removed to another court. She's still alive. But, I had to tell Melody about all this, and I explained to her that, well, that she must read books about psychopaths, books about psychology, to know about, to try to understand who is her dad.
Right.
But, you know, she's clever enough. I mean, but she wouldn't say more. She wrote a lot. I kept all her emails. Right. But, the last time I spoken to her, Philippe was behind her in his office. So it was very difficult for her to talk. She could not. So it's very difficult. But I won't give up. I can't. And, you know, I will go up to the end. And I hope to be able to see them again as soon as possible.
Well, and once again, I just want people to realize that this is what's going on. And there is a global pedophile ring, and I've covered this on my show many times. There's a researcher here in the States, Nick Bryant. He has a website, franklinscandal.com. And in fact, most of the rulers of the world are pedophiles as well. And so this global pedophile ring is protected. The only pedophiles that ever get arrested are the ones who are not Freemasons and are not, you know, higher ups. They'll arrest a few of them just to make it look like they're going against these monsters. But in fact, in reality, they're more and more giving children custody to the pedophiles. And this is one of the many ways that they're destroying the children.
Yeah, it's terrible. Because I put, I put my story, part of my story on my website in French, and put photographs, and I put some letters as well, because my ex-husband tried to force the children to write fake letters, and I decided to not to do it, I suppose. So he was writing letters in French or English, and then using somebody else to write it under the names of our children. So it was not only two or three birthday cards or Mother's Day cards or Christmas cards. It was over 30, over 5 years, so I had enough. I took it to the police, but because some of them have threats. So the police said, oh my God, it's so severe. We send it to the court. But then the court blocked the inquiry again. So, you know, something is wrong here. But I had enough of receiving those fake cards. It was so painful, and it was meant to be painful anyway. So I decided to put some on my website in December 2010. And after that, I stopped receiving fake letters. But, you know, just my ex-husband is a real psychopath, really. So you must find a way to block him.
And are you forced to pay child support for your children?
No. My ex-husband has got his own company. It's called I Negotiate in London, and he's earning a lot of money. So, no, I'm not forced to pay anything. I'm surviving with the money of my book, and I'm planning to write two more books and to try to self-edit it so I can make more profit. But, you know, the fight for my children is taking me a lot of time and money already. But, you know, Philip's got a house in North London. He's got a gardener. He's got a, I find out recently. And, you know, he's got a 4x4 BMW and... you know, it's all about look at me, you know. Sorry. But I went to London in May, and because we are doing a film with a lady from Switzerland, all about children, really, all about preconception and pregnancy, and we met wonderful experts about, you know, breastfeeding and, you know, all sorts of experts about education. And then I stayed a bit longer, because on the 9th of May, Melody was 17. So I decided with some friends, very good friends, to go to the place where they are by surprise and try to say happy birthday to Melody, you know, with no solicitors, no all this. But anyway, when we got there, it was raining, it was so corny, somebody went to try to talk to her, she got into the house. And the lady watching my children called my ex-husband, I suppose, and he came with his big car, and he said, you're not going to talk to me. He opened the window of his car, and he said, you will not come out. He said, you're not going to talk to me. You're going to talk to the police. They will be here in 2 minutes. And I thought, oh, my God, the police now. But anyway, it all happened that we sang happy birthday to Melody because she was behind the window upstairs. It was raining, as always in England, generally, and suddenly, because we were taking photographs of the car, because on the big car you could read that he was an expert in negotiation, yeah? He's supposed to be a negotiator. And we found it so funny that he would not talk to us, he was puffing, he was red, he was in full hysterical condition. And so we were filming him and taking photographs, and suddenly he came out of the car, and he fell over on his back. Sorry. He's nearly 2 meters tall. He was so funny. And then he felt humiliated, so he stood up again. He was like a bull. He was enraged. His head was red and, you know, big. And he jumped onto the mat, my friend filming him, and he said, "You're not allowed to film me." And he kicked him into the stomach. And then he went to catch a young friend of mine who was taking photographs. And he said, "You're not allowed to take photographs of me. I'm going to kill you." And he punched her into the ear. So this is a real psychopath, you know. I mean, just crazy. So this young woman, she said, "Well, you just made a big mistake, you know. I'm a solicitor." And he just went, he went into his car like a two-year-old, like who made a big mistake. And he closed the door. And at the same minute, the police arrived and he got arrested. Oh, dear.
But I'm sure he got out of it immediately, right?
No, he stayed 6 hours in a room in a police station. And for 6 hours, they listened to the victims. They listened to me. They saw the evidences that he's a pedophile, and because he said he didn't hit anybody first. But then when we showed him that he's been taking photographs, he's on a photograph ready to kick my friend, so he couldn't say I didn't. So he admitted at the end of the day, he admitted he lost control of himself and he wanted to apologize to the victim, so obviously we didn't see him. And then I said, "Excuse me," to the police officer, I said, "Sir, you asking me if I've got any new photographs of naked children, but I don't. But now, because he's been arrested, just go to his office and get his computer and check it out." Well, I didn't receive the orders to do that. So they called the special team, which didn't investigate before anyway. And they said, no, we're not investigating anymore on this case. And the police officer refused to call the psychiatric expert who was supporting me. He refused to investigate anymore. And he said, "Well, that's all I can do." And I said, "I can't believe it." And at the end of the day, I said I was allowed to see the children under supervision. And because it was Melody's birthday, I wanted to be escorted by the police to go and see Melody. He said, "Oh, you must ask Mr. Blanc if he's okay." I said, "What?" And so at the end, it was admitted that I could come back the day after and in the afternoon, and I would be escorted by the police to go and see Melody and Coralie a few minutes. And when we came back to the police station the day after, they called my ex-husband. He had changed his mind. He didn't want me to come anymore. And the police officer said, "Well, if you go by yourself to the house again, you will be arrested." And I had to go back to London and to France, you know, just like...
Yes, I know exactly what you're saying. It's like you've entered a twilight zone. I don't know if you've ever seen that show here from the States, but it's an absolute twilight zone. I'm just curious. You had said Melody was in this building looking out the window. Did she witness all these things her father
was doing? She was in a very small room at the first floor with Coralie, and we clearly saw Coralie as well. But my ex-husband lived with a, let's say it's a woman, I don't know, I mean, it's a very strange-looking person. And this woman was blocking them from opening the window, you know, so she was keeping them inside. She was on the phone as well, and probably talking to Philippe. And so the girls were not allowed to open the window. But the thing is, I've got proof that Cordy wants to see me again. And but they couldn't talk, they couldn't do anything. So that's why we just sang Happy Birthday. And I suppose that if they were near the window when the attack happened, they could have seen it. But the other attack happened under between two walls, so they couldn't see this one. But that's sure that they saw the police officer getting Philippe inside the house and, you know, arresting him. So they must know that, you know, you cannot win all the time. I mean, it's just impossible. But the good thing is my ex-husband is still eating McDonald's food. And he's very overweight, and, you know, I mean, either he would be felt ill, or either, you know, we'd find a way to stop it all. I mean, he cannot go over and over again like this for years. He's 47 soon, and, you know, he's so fat and so irrational and violent. I mean, you know, it's just absolutely amazing. We've got cases in America and in France, probably other countries now. But one of my friends is Dr. Ryle Fulton. He's in New York. He's professor in psychiatry. And and is into the film Sweet Misery, you've got to make sure everybody can watch this film. And Dr. Ralph Walton is still working in New York, and I called him one day and I said, well, I've got severe cases here of people drinking Coca-Cola Zero or Diet Coke, and they feel like killing somebody. And he said, oh yeah, I've got cases like this here too. So this poison goes to your brain, and you can become violent, you can go up to kill somebody, and you can't control it. It goes so far, you know, and you feel like, oh my God. I've got many mothers here, well, when they start to find out about aspartame, I had a case, she was 47, she was eating lots of sweeteners, tabletop sweeteners all day long. And the first thing she told me, she said, Mrs. Gouget, I was not rude, I was not violent before, but I became like this. And I said, I know, I believe you. And she went like, oh, my doctor didn't believe me. And aspartame can make you mad. MSG as well, we've got lots of side effects regarding psychiatry. And people don't know. So it can break up families, it can lead to divorce, to disease, to people beating the children or raping them, and it's got to end. I mean, there must be a way to tell more people and to open their eyes and to save families. You know, I saved many families here, thousands.
And that's why you're being punished. And, you know, it's not just the aspartame. There's a very important book, Vaccination, Social Violence, and Criminality, by Dr. Harris Coulter. And he talks about how vaccine damage can affect a part of the brain which causes criminal behavior and social
problems. Well, that's interesting.
Yes, and of course we have this amazing epidemic of bullies. And psychiatric drugs can cause homicidal ideation. So it's all of these things. The bottom line is that the very consciousness of humans is being altered to cause all of these problems, because the psychopaths that control the world, they want to destroy families. And the best thing you can do to destroy a family is to force a child to be in the custody of his or her abuser.
Yeah.
And just imagine the torment of what your children are going through, because I'm sure not only are they undergoing whatever degree of sexual and emotional abuse they're undergoing, but they're also being threatened, I'm sure, to not be in any communication with
their own mother. They are, because when I found Melody again freely in 2009, she clearly wrote on an email, she said, I won't say anything to Coralie yet, because she became daddy's girl, but she said, if somebody discovers that we are communicating together, we'll be both dead. She wrote it.
Wow.
And I went like, oh my God. So she was frightened that anybody could discover. But when we spoke on the phone about the day after she wrote that, I said, I love you and all this. And I said, be very careful about your emails, because then you could find out. And she was 14 at this stage. And she said, oh, you're still naive, yeah? And she said, oh, don't worry, mommy, he doesn't know my passwords. But Philip find everything, all the emails, he printed them and he gave it to his solicitor, so he went to court, because I was persecuted in court for taking the children to France for 2 years, without giving my address. And I was found guilty last year of keeping the children with me in France, away from Philippe, you know, and I'm supposed to pay some money for him. No, never. I won't do it. But there must be some way to change things around. It's impossible. I mean, just...
Well, the entire system has to be collapsed. I mean,
I know.
This happens all the time. People pay money to what you call solicitors, what we call attorneys, and they sell their clients out. So not only are you being sold out, but you're paying to have it done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Go ahead.
If I tell you I had about 3 solicitors in England and about 30 in France, I mean, first they go, oh my God, this is so bad. I mean, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then gradually, within days or weeks, they do nothing, because they've been influenced by the other side to do nothing. And even some of them were influenced to destroy me in court. And I was getting rid of those solicitors or lawyers, and then I was going to court by myself. But it's just never ending. And I was talking with a French doctor the other day who knows all about it. And he said, well, either you keep taking another, because I don't have any solicitors anymore. And he said, either you take another one and you go to court again, but it's never ending. Either you find a way to mediatize it, to put those people in the light and to say what happened to you. Because they don't like the light. They just stay in the dark and do all the dirty jobs. And because of my book is being so well known, I've got plenty of friends. And some people are wonderful. We still have some wonderful people here. And one of the new friends I've got, I won't say her name here, but she's a young woman and she's really great. And you guess what? She's never been vaccinated.
Right.
And she's so clever, I can't believe it. She never had a vaccination and she's eating a healthy food and she's very, very clever. And you think like, wow. So I'm sure there must be a way. I mean, I know it's international. I've got other cases in France. I've got a friend and she never saw her children for 1 year. The father is a pedophile and the mother and grandfather and grandmother are Freemasons. And she's been going to jail because they said she was crazy, loving her children too much. And she left jail and then she's surviving as she can. And she's still not allowed to see her children. Her solicitor is wasting time. I mean, it's just, I've got other cases like this and in France. And you think like, oh my God, you never stop, you know. I mean, it's those children, some of them are very young, age 5 or 6 or 8 or 3. And when you've got brothers and sister, they can help each other. But when it's only a little girl, she's about 3, and she's forced to go with daddy who is a Freemason and a pedophile, and she's forced to be raped or to see other things happening to other children, how do you want to survive it? How do you want to grow up? To grow up out of it and then become a responsible adult, you know, I don't know.
Well, that's not the plan. They don't want them to become responsible adults. They want them to become, diagnosed with some psychiatric infirmity, put on psychiatric drugs. They can be used for experimentation. Here in the States, the CIA controls, has a MK Ultra mind control division. They create government assassins. There's all kinds of things that go on.
So they understand. They give those children to psychopaths, and then they want them to become like this as well, or sick, or disabled.
They want to use them in whatever way they can, or cause them to be disabled and become never-ending customers for the psychiatric system. If people go on my website, drcarley.com, drcarley.com, and you scroll down to the picture of me and my son when he was about 3.5 years old. There's some documents on there in regards to what happened to my son, who was sodomized so violently at 3 years old on Father's Day. And that's how I realized it was a Masonic thing, to the point he couldn't walk or have a bowel movement for 2 weeks.
Really?
And he was put into foster care because myself, as a medical doctor, when I took him to the hospital and they claimed that their camera was broken, I took a photograph of his bleeding anus, and that was used against me. I was basically told that, you know, that's like pornography. Well, I was a medical doctor working in the ER. That's one of the things I had to do was document child sex abuse. And he was put into foster care for 1.5 years, and he told his foster parents what his father did to him. His foster parents worked for the government, and there's a affidavit on that on my website that people can read for themselves. In fact, I spent 7 years in 7 courts up as high as the United States Supreme Court trying to save my son, and that's how I realized that, in fact, this is the agenda. And, in fact, one of the most amazing things that happened in my case, I went in front of, when I lived in Long Island, the Nassau County Legislature, and I presented hundreds and hundreds of pages of documents about what had been done to my son. The only person that tried to do anything was the Nassau County deputy attorney. Her name was, I'm blacking out what her name was at this point, but she actually wrote a letter to the New York State Attorney General asking him to investigate the case, and not only did he not investigate the case, but he actually got the case dismissed. I brought this judge, Richard Lawrence, Nassau County Family Court judge, to federal court, charging him with crimes against myself and my son. And this Attorney General Elliot Spitzer got the case dismissed, saying that the judge was immune even if corrupt, malicious, or incompetent. Later on, this Elliot Spitzer became governor and then had to resign because he was involved in this infamous case, Client 9. He was bringing prostitutes across state lines to have sex with them while at the same time supposedly, you know, going against prostitution rings and things of that nature. So that's what people have to realize, that these monsters are actually protecting Masonic pedophiles. And if that doesn't outrage you, I don't know what will. Because here in the United States alone, and this is just as part of the statistics, there are 800,000 children disappearing from this country every year. 800,000.
Yeah,
800,000. And those are children kidnapped by these global pedophile rings and being, you know, raped, killed, sacrificed, eaten in their satanic rituals. This is what's going on. And that should really outrage people. But unfortunately, the outrage hasn't reached critical mass yet. Apparently, you know, people have to go through this themselves before they actually can see how evil this is.
That's true. That's true. That's why I'm helping this other mom because, you know, when she lost custody of her three children, it's one boy and two girls, I think. You know, nobody would believe her. Even our family had enough. You know, they didn't want to listen to her stories anymore. And she lost her friends and then she went to jail. So people, you know, especially in France, French people are very selfish. No, self-centered, or mind your own business, you know, and don't listen anymore. And, you know, so when you meet other people, what happened to me when I went to court and to court of appeal, you know, always with my best friend or with other people, and you know, I could meet other moms or fathers screaming and crying, I want my children back and things, and I start to talk to them, and we had the same stories, so... you know, little by little we got together, and after losing the custody of my children the year after I've lost my house because I couldn't pay the rent anymore, and they were threatening me to take my furniture away, so I put everything away and I left the house, and with other parents we organized a strike in front of the court and I warned the police and I warned the official offices, and the end of the strike was when we got the children back. That was in May and June 2007, and so we got well organized. We sat down in front of the court in camp chairs, and we had an umbrella and all this. And then in the evening, we set up a tent up outside, and with a mattress and sleeping bags, and we stayed there for 3 weeks. And we were doing a hunger strike, and so we didn't eat for 3 weeks, but we got ready for that. You know, it was like detoxifying as well in a way. And because I told all the regional TV and radios and newspaper, we were being interviewed nearly every day, and all sorts of people were coming to talk to us in front of the court. I've got lots of photographs of that. And they said, oh, well done, thank you very much, that happened to me, that happened to my children, and the same judge, and the other judge, and that. He went on for 21 days. It was just absolutely amazing episode of my life. But at the end of that, on the other side of France, there was another judge who took children away from a mom, and he would not give the children back. So she got a knife out of her bag, and she punched the judge in the tummy. She stabbed him. And it was a big thing into the media in France. And so the Minister of Justice went to see the judge in hospital. And I wish I could talk to the mom. but I don't know her name. And then, because we were sitting in front, sleeping and staying in front of the court in Montpellier, we were a threat that we were going to be forced to go, because they were worried we would stab a judge as well or do something naughty. So we had to go, and when we came back, because we wanted to come back during the day, we got five little vans of police officers waiting for us. Because we put a note on the bars of the gates. We put, see you on Monday morning, so when we left on a Friday. And then when we came back, there was those five police, little vans. And I said, oh. And they said, are you Mrs. Bouget? I said, yeah. They said, we have been waiting for you until 6 o'clock in the morning. I thought, that's so kind. But we were allowed to stay there, but without any banners or any, panels or things to say what we were doing. But they were okay, they were doing their job, but the judge were scared we would aggress them, you know. It's just a crazy story, really.
Well, what did they expect? They're committing crimes against humanity, and of course they have the police there to protect the criminals.
They do.
As a matter of fact, there's more and more judges being killed in this country every day, and I do not promote violence, but what do they expect? You know, if you take everything from a person, they have nothing left to lose.
I know.
And these monsters have to be destroyed.
Especially those people, they take your children away, you know, it's your life. Usually they choose the, you know, some people have children. Unfortunately, it wasn't planned, or mothers and fathers sometimes are on drugs and things, so sometimes they kill their own children themselves. But there is not enough cases like this, I suppose. So those judges, they get a range, and they got fake reports from social services. It's not only France, it's England, it's terrible in England, it's Germany, it's Italy, and all sorts.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. And then they take your children. So, yeah, I saw a man in 2007 as we were doing this big hunger strike. We were about four people, so one father, two other moms, and myself. And, you know, what do you expect? You know, just people just, they go mad. And I saw a man, he came to see me, he said, he looked like a tramp. He was having just bones and skin on and long, greasy hair. He was very hot, and he said, oh, well done, Mrs. Bouget, you know, my life is over. And the same woman took his children away to give it to the mom, but the mom was on drugs and smoking and being violent. So after 3 months, she put the children in foster care. And this man was tired, he lost his job, he lost his home, and he didn't know what to do anymore. He was lost, and he said, oh, for me it's over, it's too late. And I said, no, we must get together, we must fight those people. But he would not listen, and he just went. He looked like a ghost, like a skeleton, you know. And I felt like, oh, poor man, you know. He didn't have the strength anymore to fight.
Well, that is their goal, to wear people out. And I experienced that 7 years in 7 different courts. I did not have any money to hire an attorney, and I wouldn't have anyways, because I already knew how they sell their clients out. And even if you represent yourself, that's a disability as well, because you know, they'll always find a way. You don't know all the rules, and they can make up anything they want to say that you're behind, you submitted a document too late or whatever. But I'm just curious, when you're talking about those 21 days you spent in front of the court, you said that the media did come to talk to you. Did any of those interviews actually get aired on television?
Well, do you mean here?
Yeah.
Not yet, no. They don't want to.
Right, so the media would come and interview you, but they would never play those interviews on the air.
Well,
right?
they, what do you mean, about us protesting or about my children?
No, no, about the, when you protested in front of the court.
Oh, yeah, when I did the protest. We had national TV coming to film us, so that was on TV a few minutes. Then we had radios, and we had newspapers. It was on radio and newspapers. And so that's why people from all over the part of this town and the area came to talk to us. But then there was a private TV. She came. It was a young woman. She was really keen, and she was compassionate. And she filmed us for a long time. And a few weeks later, after all this, she wanted to put it on this private TV, but she received threat of her boss, and he told her, well, you better forget what you've been filming, because if not, you lose your job. And she became depressed, and she went to see a psychologist expert, which I knew at the time, and to get some help, you know, so not to go into depression. But she was not allowed to put on TV what we were doing in front of the court, yeah. And the worst thing is this psychologist expert who was trying to help her became a Freemason afterwards, and so I'm not in touch with her anymore.
Right. And sold her out and probably diagnosed her with some kind of a conspiracy theory, paranoia, or whatever. And she'll end up losing her job anyway.
And see, probably, I don't know.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. You know, people, they sell their soul for cash. All of these people working for child predator services, that's what I call them. You know, every person that is involved in protecting these corrupt judges, especially the court officers and the police, little do they know that they're being affected as well. Maybe not by stealing their children, but they're being poisoned with aspartame, vaccines, all the rest of it.
Absolutely.
You know, this is one of our big problems, is how many people sell their souls for cash.
Oh, gosh. This is terrible.
But my goal is to try to get people of conscience to come together and to face the fact that the world is being controlled by psychopaths. They're destroying everything that matters. They've created a hell on Earth. They're actually going to cause the extinction of the race, the human race, with these vaccines and all these other poisons that they're doing. They're destroying the food with GMO, putting viruses into food. I don't know what the weather's like in Europe right now, but here in the States, using modified weather, the heart machines, chemtrails, and other things, they've created a massive drought where, you know, the majority of the corn crops and soybean crops have been destroyed. And so, you know, people are going to be starving. And this is being done intentionally. So if people don't stand up to the monsters that are controlling the world and say we're not going to take it anymore, we're toast.
Yeah, but what I do when I do talks about food, I mean... Obviously, I'm aware of all those things happening, like chemtrails. This morning, I gave a walk to my dog about 7:30 in the morning, and it was so. I took photographs of the sky. It was so many chemtrails. I felt like, oh my God, this is it. So here they do it a lot on Sundays and Wednesdays when people are out, and especially on holiday at the beach and all this. It's just crazy. And but when you walk into a supermarket, for example. And you see an aspartame victim or somebody, and you start to talk to them. You cannot tell them all in one go because it's too much for their brain.
I agree.
Know?
Yeah.
So it's too much. So I, you know, some people go and say, "Oh, do you know about this and this and this and this?" It's too much. So I start with the food because they buy it and they eat it every day and they didn't know. So I start with the food, and the younger the better. If it's a young mom with children, she will react. She will understand. And slowly she will get better, think better, then you go and tell them more about other vaccine, about the vaccines and about, the chemtrails and all this. But first they've got to change the way they eat to get their body back and their brain back. And it's not always possible, unfortunately. So, and then gradually you tell more about what's happening in the world, and it's not only France, obviously, it's everywhere. And, you know, we must find a way to warn people worldwide, and they've got the power to buy the stuff. To buy, it could be cosmetic, it could be buying a car, it could be buying food, and they've got to be aware that they are the boss. They are the one who are spending the money. So they've got the power to not to buy the things if they don't want to. They don't have to buy something if they don't want to. But they are just encouraged by the adverts and TV and newspapers and things. And they've got to think twice, and they don't have to buy sugar free gums or Diet Coke or whatever. They can think again.
Yes.
So it's all about money again.
Yes, and I'm just wondering with your daughters, and I'm sure you don't know because you haven't been allowed to converse with them in a way that they're not being monitored, but I wonder what they're being allowed to eat because they know they were taught by you. So I wonder what their situation is.
But I know what it's, I can't say here how, but I know what they eat, and it's not organic apart from one thing. But they sometimes they eat crisps, sometimes they Melody loves Campbell's soup, which you know is full of MSG. They eat sometimes McDonald's foods because they are addicted. One day Melody drank a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi Max, which is full of aspartame. I was shocked, but I knew it, but I could not communicate with her to tell her to stop, you know. So it's very difficult. I know they, the only way they have to get away with it is that because when I was pregnant, I was eating very healthy diet. And they grew up until age 8 and 11 without E numbers, with no aspartame, with no MSG and things. So the immune system, I suppose, is stronger than a child who would have been on junk food for all his life. So at the moment, they are not overweight. They don't have, you know, hair loss and spots over their face and things. But, you know, they're still not eating organic food every day, which is it's a bit of a worry for me. But, you know, the main thing for them is to survive and to wait for the way out. You know, there must be a way out somewhere.
Here in the States, at 18 years old, children are basically on their own. Is it the same age in France and the UK?
Yes, it is. But apparently, there is something about when you are 16 as well, you can decide what you want. But Philippe doesn't want her to know, so he told her she has to wait until she's 18. But she will be 18 next year in May. And Coralie then will be only 15. I mean, there is no way I'm waiting more. I'm in touch with the school where they are going, which is completely manipulated by Philippe and his money. But I've learned that this year, Melody received vaccination, which one I don't know. And they're planning to vaccinate Coralie in September or October. And I said, no way. I still got parental authority, and I don't want this to happen. And they said, oh, you'll have to decide with your ex-husband. But Philippe is not replying to the phone, he's not replying to emails, you know, he's blocking all way of communication. I would have to send him a recorded letter again to say, hey, I don't want Coralie to get vaccinated, yeah? So,
But it doesn't matter, because on paper, you may have a parental authority, just like on paper, you had proof that your husband was a pedophile, but you see... What good they did you? Absolutely nothing.
I know. Well, there was a man here in France. He, you know, not a Freemason, nothing, with not a lot of money. So he's been raping his own daughter when she was 12 and 13. So when she got to age 20 or 20, 21, she decided to take him to court. It was a court next to my house, you know. To my village, and well, at the end of the court hearing, they decided he was guilty, and he was taken to jail for 12 years. But you know, because you know, he was a poor man, and that's it. And but when you are wealthy and you are Freemason, you can do whatever you want. You're protected. You're not going to jail, which is not fair.
Right, which is exactly why they do prosecute those types of people, because then it makes it look like,
yes,
the justice system protects the children in those cases,
exactly,
when in fact they do not protect the children.
They do, yeah, exactly. Just to give an example, say, look, we did a good job here, but behind the curtain, they do worse.
Right. And I know that I actually met you through the people at One Voice for the Kids, which, you know, it's very good that all of us are getting together, and, you know, they're trying to expose these child trafficking and child stealing in the UK, and
really,
that's what has to happen. All of us have to come together. Are you aware of the Holly Gregg case in the UK?
Yes, I know.
Right. So that's a very important case. This young woman with Down syndrome that was raped by many high-level Masons, including judges and police officers and everybody you can imagine. And that case has been trying to be squelched for years in case, in fact, arresting people that were trying to expose it. And now they're trying to take custody of that young woman away from her mother, and I'm sure that they will totally destroy her if they accomplish that, you know, put her in some psych institution and just destroy her brain totally. So that is why people of conscience have to rise up and say no. I mean, this is so heinous. See, the main problem, as I see it, Corinne, is that people that have a conscience can't even conceive of the level of evil that we're talking about. And they would rather just put their heads in the sand and pretend it's not happening as long as it doesn't happen to them. And that's why I'm out here. And, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. I have two of my own radio shows every week, and I do lots of other radio shows. I'm trying to get people to face the fact that this is how evil things are. So if you don't want to live in hell, you better do something. Because if you do nothing, you are aiding and abetting in your own destruction and that of your children.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely. And do you know roughly how many people are listening to us at the moment? So how many people are you reaching?
No, I don't know. And so many people listen to the archives, there's no way of even knowing. But I will say that the numbers are increasing all the time, and I'm doing the best I can, you know.
Great.
What else can we do?
Well, what else can we do? I mean, I suppose we could do videos and put them on internet and then, you know, get some new media, you know, those new TV on the internet. You know, they want to do a parallel media to denunciate things, and I start to know some. And then use those people to do videos and film and put them all over the world in French and English or whatever, and then on internet.
And we're doing that, but unfortunately, alternative media has been infiltrated as well. There are many people out there, and you can always tell who they are. There's one by the name of Alex Jones here in the States.
Yeah.
If they're multimillionaires, you know that they're actually working for the other side. Because you don't become a multimillionaire if you're telling the whole truth. And, of course, you know, half a truth is a whole lie. But there are many good people, and I'm finding those good people. And all we can do is keep doing what we're doing. And eventually, we have to reach critical mass. I would not be still doing what I'm doing if I didn't know in the cells of my being that eventually truth will overcome this evil.
Great, fantastic. So we must put all those good people together.
And that's what I'm trying to do, and especially...
Well, I know some good people here in France. They can speak English as well. So no problem, you know, just put them together with your good people, and together we can do it. It will take a while, I suppose, but, you know, the truth must come out.
Well, it's not... I don't claim that I'm the one that's going to accomplish all this. I'm just one person with a conscience trying to do the right thing. But, yes, definitely tell the ones that you know are actually working for truth, you know, about me. And if they have any particular, you know, interest that they have, because, you know, what's ailing the world? I'll never run out of answers to that question. Anybody that has information like you have on aspartame, about any specific thing, you know, that's why I like to cover many different subjects. And eventually, like you said at the beginning of the show, these psychopaths, the last thing they want is they have a light shown on them. That's their biggest fear. Because once they're exposed, I mean, they're going to have a problem.
Yeah, that's what we have to do, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we're almost out of time, so I'm going to let you make any closing statements that you will would like to make, and please definitely keep in touch with me, and you know, I wish you well in getting your daughters back. My son's 16 now. I hope that someday he'll be able to reach me, although I think he's been totally mind controlled, so I'm not holding my breath, But people have to realize that they're next if they don't stand up.
But you know, you how do you know if your son is still alive?
I don't.
Nothing.
No.
Oh gosh.
No. He could be dead. I don't know. I'm still playing child support, but I don't know if he's still alive.
You're still paying child support? Oh gosh.
Yes. Based on my salary as a surgeon.
Yes.
That's how far they my case. They imputed my child support based on my salary as a surgeon, despite the fact that I make a fraction of what I made as a surgeon. That's one of the things they've done to try to destroy me.
We must do a film about it.
Okay.
Yeah, we must do a film about it and show the world what's happening to women who are brave enough to tell the truth and they just lost custody of their children and the hell they're going through. We must do a film about it. Find some people.
And there are a few men that are in that same boat as well. It's, you know, like you were saying, there are some women that are, you know, actually it's called Eastern Star. That's the female version of the Masons. It's not just the men. It's females as well. Okay, so we're out of time. Would you like to make any closing comments?
Well, you know, just be aware. You can change things if you want to, and, don't go to your doctors anymore if you can, and stay aware, healthy, and get together, and then we can change things together. I wish you all the best, and stay in good health, and keep your brain.
Yes, and stay in touch, Corinne.
We will. Thank you very much.
Okay, that's my guest, Corinne Gauger from France. Once again, her website is SantineDanger.net. That's in France. Let me just close by saying that the views expressed on this program are not endorsed by the station. These changing times, rather, they are the opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Thank you for listening, folks, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.